Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening and welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here, hopefully, with my co-host, Red Beckman. Red, are you there online yet? Well, I suppose Red will be along shortly, along with our guest tonight. We've really got a great show lined up for you tonight, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope people will call in, because I'm sure you're going to have questions for folks tonight. Let's open up with a prayer and give them time to call in. Almighty Father God, I'm just thankful for your presence, that you sustain us, that you provide all that there is in existence around us. I'm just in awe of the way you work in our lives and the way that you reach out to us and remind us that you're there. Sometimes that can be painful for us because we're not paying attention and we beat our heads against the wall. I'm just thankful that your spirit dwells within us, that you've given us an opportunity to be reconciled with you. We're most thankful for the price that you paid through your son, Yeshua. We ask your spirit to go before us tonight in everything that we do and everything that we say. And we just... pray that the listeners tonight are hearing the truth, and we can provide that truth for them. Thank you so much for being our Father, and our Creator, and our Savior. Amen. Well, I'm wondering where Mr. Beckman is, because I talked to him just a little bit ago, and he said he'd be right along. And so, Kate, do we have any other live mics? Do we have... Terry Brady or Steve Ellswick, either one online yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, you know, with these days being so long, it's sometimes difficult to recognize that it's this late in the day. I know right now it looks like it's more like 5 o'clock here in Colorado than it does 7 o'clock. So I'll just launch right out into something here. 520, is that you, Terry?
Hello, yes, it is.
Well, welcome to Walls in Our Minds, Terry. I'm also waiting for my co-host, Red Beckman, to come along. Are we also expecting Steve? Or?
Yes.
Well, that's great. I really appreciate you guys coming.
I was in the middle of
show.
Another conference call, and they had to switch to this one.
Oh, that's okay.
There's
no
some
problem.
Really wonderful things happening on the other one here. I will keep you posted through Terry there.
Well, we're just very glad to have you with us tonight. And how about give us a little bit of background.
I'm honored to be
Terry
here.
Brady is, and give us some background on who you are and a little bit about the Tesla Tech and how it came into being, and maybe the rest of these folks will make it.
Well, Steve would be the one to talk about the background more than myself. He's been doing this for 30 years. I've been with him for 10, so I don't know the best way to describe what was going on back then. My first experience was here in Phoenix when we had a conference. We have an annual conference, and we fly in researchers from around the world. And we put them up on stage, and we gathered together. This year it's going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico. at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel. We have some very extraordinary people. Our magazine is called Extraordinary Technology. I think I'm getting a call from Steve here. Hold on. No, I'm not. I don't quite know where to start here. Usually Steve starts the conversations. Are you on yet, Steve? Dina?
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Okay. Why don't you start off with the background of Tesla Tech? I think it would be good to have that first, and then...
Terry, why don't you just introduce
where we are now.
And let folks know... Why don't you let Steve know, the listeners know who Steve is? Terry, did you hear me?
No, I didn't.
Why don't you give Steve an introduction?
Give Steve an introduction? Okay. This is our illustrious leader who has managed to go through thick and thin for 30 years to keep the Nikola Tesla legacy alive. I don't know how he does it. I would have given up long ago, I think. But he manages to keep it going. And we're now on the verge of some really major breakthroughs, which can really get us out to people to understand what we have. We do have a solution to the energy problem. We have solutions to alternative medicine type things, electronic devices, things like that. The problem is not discovery. The problem is political. And all these things have been suppressed for so many years. Once people realize that, yes, actually, we do have something that works. We have something that can take you off grid, that works. And once people realize that we have that, then they will truly be freer again and know that they've been lied to for so many years. Hundreds of years, in fact. But anyway, Steve Ellswick is the founder of the International Tesla Society and Museum in Colorado Springs back in the early 80s. I visited there before I even knew about Tesla Tech or about Steve, and I visited the museum, and I'm glad that I had, because now it's no longer there. But this is the man that brought it through thick and thin in a time when it just wasn't real popular to talk about off-grid things and 100-mile-an-hour carburetors, 100-mile-per-gallon carburetors. And Steve has done it. He's managed to bring it all this way for 30 years.
Well,
so
Steve,
I'd like to introduce Mr. Steve Ellswick and give some of the story that I don't know about.
Okay, what would you like to know?
Everything.
Well, I'd like to talk about our conference we're going to be having here in about a month in Albuquerque at the Pyramid. And we have so much technology there that there's, I know people are just going to walk away amazed. I mean, we will have vehicles there, which is getting 50 to 100% better gas mileage once they've been outfit with GEET devices. We're going to have engines there that you can pour juice in and they will run, you know. And that's what's on the schedule. Now, we have more people coming off schedule, including one gentleman who's developed a device that appears to extract energy from the ambient environment and can run small appliances out in the middle of the desert. And I can't wait to meet this guy and see it, because I've had a similar experience with a device I helped build, and I just want to know how it will compare to it. And I believe that we truly have tapped into a band of energy that permeates the entire universe with an aperture of about 6 feet. So, and I think, you know, like if the, anyone who comes to the conference will be impressed. In the medical side, we've been using this thing called the Photon Genie on people. And a friend of mine, Leah, she's been using it on her mom since last August. And the results on her mom is amazing, to say the least. She had like a tumor on her liver, and now that tumor is shrinking after 9 months of near daily use of this the Photon Genie. At the conference, we'll not only have the Photon Genie there, we'll have its big brother, the Genius. And the Genius will put out 700, will burn 700 calories in less than 20 minutes. So.
And it is four.
And I guess you guys are based out of Colorado.
One.
Hello?
Yes. I was waiting for Terry to finish his statement.
Oh, I was just going to say it's four different modalities in one, the Photon Genius, and that is for hospitals and clinics and things like that, and various health practitioners. I have demonstrated it in Tucson at a conference, and there's only about 25 people there, but I, on the spot, was asked to speak about it, and I had one with me. And everyone that was there, about half the people were had an opportunity to try it out. And some of them were on crutches and being carried up there and on wheelchairs. And every single one of them had an improvement in whatever type of ailment they had. It didn't matter what the ailment was. It was effective on every single one of those people. So, greater and lesser degrees, of course. Some of them really marveled, and some of them, well, yeah, I feel a lot better. So I would also like to announce Steve and to the group here, if we get into the GEAT fuel processor, we have the honor of having Mr. Paul Pantone online with us. He is listening in and will speak when necessary. So I will hand the microphone back to Steve there and let him go on with what he was talking about. So,
can one of you guys give us a little, just a taste of either the physics or the chemistry of what you were just talking about?
On which part?
On the genie, you mean, the genius?
On the device you were talking about demonstrating.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's a question for me. It involves Rife frequencies, color therapy, and sound therapy, all rolled into one. And the Genius adds ultraviolet and infrared to it, so you have like four or five different modalities all in one. And is designed by Ed Skilling. Ed Skilling is the master of electromedicine. He taught, for those of you who know Bob Beck out there, he taught Bob Beck all he knows. And he's been around a long time. He just passed away last year, about a year ago, at the age of 93. But this was the last of his lifelong work that he's built. And they are in different clinics around the country right now. And, of course, overseas in Europe and all that, they are much better accepted over there than they are here in this country. We don't want to interfere with the economic situation here, so economic security. So they're not as well accepted here. But they are certified by the FDA for certain things. And well, all I can say is that it works. I've used it on myself. I don't have too many problems, but I have used it on myself just for energy boosts and things like that. It produces ozone, which is helpful to get oxygen into your system. And it consists of two rods, two glass rods that you hold, one in each hand. One is a red glowing rod. The other one is a blue glowing rod. and you just turn it up to where it tickles a little bit from the high frequency voltage. And there are two little, I don't know what you call them, two little speaker-like things that you can sleep between overnight, which does not produce the ozone. You don't want too much ozone at night because, too much ozone, period, because it gives you a very sore throat if you get exposed to too much, which I've done myself, not knowing it. But, so the little pads that go on either side of you at night give you the rest of the healing without the ozone. Anybody interested?
Let me introduce you guys to Red Beckman, my co-host, who's been listening, but hasn't been speaking yet because I came in a few seconds after the first of the show. He got through looking at something today that was treating a number of issues, and I know that he's used a Rife machine. And so, Red, do you want to jump in on this conversation?
Well, I am all ears because I've known about the Tesla and his tremendous intellect and how he was so good that he got a lot of flack. He caught a lot of flack, and I think you'll find that in most cases where somebody has gone out and developed something new, it's quite common to draw some flack from different areas of the society and such. And you know, Tesla was no stranger to that. But he knew he was. Of course, Edison was operating at about the same time. And there was, I think Tesla was by far the most talented of the two, but Edison probably had better political connections or something. And of course, you know, it is so sad that political power has become so strong in this country that they can manipulate everything. I've known about some of these carburation systems and such that were so far superior to anything we can have put out today, but the EPA won't approve the exhaust systems, for one thing. When they, if they do anything in the way of a change in carburation and such, the EPA, they want to interfere, you know, saying that they can't approve of the exhaust coming out of a vehicle using that carburation system. And one thing or another, it's just. We've got way, way too much political influence on a lot of things, and it's all across the board. I'm watching the floods in the Missouri River, and the politics that control the Corps of Engineers is what has caused so much of this problem. And so it doesn't make any difference what area of society you're dealing with. You're going to have political interference. It's there's no better way to put it, I don't think, than to just call it interference. And you know, my hat is off to these fellows that are pursuing the Tesla technology because you know, it just he's so far ahead, and of course that's real difficult for the big name researchers and such in our universities and such today, because most of them are political animals too. And so anyway, my hat is off to the fellows that you have on as guests tonight.
Well, Steve, I want to get you back on the floor here. You were starting to tell us about some of the things that were going to happen both officially and unofficially at the conference.
Well, we had a lot of really good exotic technologies there. One is the PAP engine. I'm sure you've all heard of, a lot of you might have heard of the PAP engine, which is a noble gas engine. There's no internal combustion whatsoever. You create a plasma, which expands, and then you collapse it and pulls the pistons back in. We're going to have a gentleman who's worked with the PAP engine after PAP died, and he's actually got it to work. And he will be at the conference demonstrating this device. This device here, one charge will last 6 months of continuous running. And doesn't take very much gas to put in. You're talking noble gases like neon and xenon, those types of gases on the periodic table. We also have a gentleman, Bruce Perot, is coming in from the East Coast. And he has a radiant energy valve, which is another device that would be pulling energy out of the ambient environment. As Tesla once said, Tesla believed he was tapping into cosmic rays. And at one point, Tesla was supposed to test a car. It was in the newspapers and everything. And this car was supposed to be running on radiant energy. And you all of a sudden hear nothing more about the car, but all of a sudden Tesla moves into this the world's most modern hotel at the time, very luxurious. All of his bills paid for by Westinghouse, and then he also later on goes on to say, "I have operated a motive device using cosmic rays, and the car is a motive device." And he says, "I wish I could tell you about my greatest invention, but I can't because of financial considerations." So I believe at that time, it'd be about 1933, 34, is when Tesla actually invented a car that ran off of cosmic rays. And the device I worked on in Stanfield, where we were pushing out 10 amps on a 1-amp input, or 30 amps on a 3-amp input, and there was no logical explanation or anything in our physics books that would describe this. All I can say is I believe that we tapped into the true zero-point energy, which is that band of energy that's permeating the universe here, and it's part of our space-time fabric. I think people who come to this conference will be truly amazed. Truly amazed. Now, I've been doing this for 30 years, and each one is unique, and they're all so great. I don't see how one can get better than the other one. Yeah.
About how many have you been having in attendance, or how many do you expect this year?
I am trying to get 600 people there. I expect at least 300. So it should be a fairly well-attended event. And I also know that there are going to be some serious investor types coming, because I was just at a conference, and I know a lot of those guys are going to be coming too. So it's a good all-around event for inventors to get to know other inventors, possibly even meet some real investors who are serious about helping the planet, who share a similar philosophy that we do, and have a good time. And meet other people. Get out of that lab. And on a lighter note,
right now,
we're going to have a dance and a karaoke every night, so that should be fun, too.
Hey, if you want to get them there, just have free food, right?
We have a little bit of free food, and I'm trying to find some. I'm trying to get more women there, up the male-to-female ratio, up the female-to-male ratio there, I got in trouble last year from one of our lady inventors. She said that she was the only presenter there that was a lady, and I need to find more lady inventors. So if there are any lady inventors out there, you should get in contact with us, for future events. We do need women involved too.
Hardware, not hot air.
That's our motto.
That's our motto.
I like that motto. Anyway, I'm planning on trying to make it down there, and I know that Another one of my friends and Terry's friend here in town is planning on coming. I've also recruited a fellow down out of Austin who's got a really ingenious son, and they're planning on coming. And he just hooked up a device, and I don't know if he's listening tonight. If he is, John, call in. We'd love to talk to you. But John, just to put online a generator like a Tesla unit, it's definitely Tesla technology, without any moving parts, and was producing 220 voltage off of it. So he's in the process of putting in a permanent facility at this point, since he's tested out his trial run on it, and he's got it all figured out how it's supposed to be grounded and all of that stuff, because I know Tesla had issues with its grounding from what he put in.
Yes, it's the hardest thing, is figuring out the grounding.
Well,
serious about trying to get young people involved. We really encourage young people. We have special rates for young people.
Student rates.
For young people who are having a tough time, they should contact me, and maybe we can figure a way to help them once they get there, but we want to bring the age group down, because a lot of groups you go to, everyone is in their, like us, in their late 50s, early 60s and that. And we need to get down to the 30-year-olds, and to really start getting the stuff really going again. Otherwise, our country is just going to die on the vine.
We need to pass the torch. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Pass along the torch.
And it's
your
so
friend,
hard to get...
in Texas, did you say?
Yes, from Austin. Remember,
from
I talked to you, Terry, about him a couple of days ago, and since then been on the phone with him, and he's planning on coming. He is coming.
He has already signed up.
I believe he has. If Mark didn't do that, Mark may be listening too. I hope he is.
Hello, Mark, if you're there.
I don't think he's called in, but you're welcome to call him, Mark, if you'd like to join our conversation. Well, Terry, Steve, I'm kind of curious. 30 years ago, you started this process. How much resistance did you get from people that were not wanting this technology to come forward 30 years ago?
Well, you see, Tess always referred to those folks as organized opposition, because they are kind of like hidden in the woodwork there. And I know I was physically assaulted with electromagnetic waves at one point, and that's when I put together a book on mind control and another one on non-lethal weapons to find out how much was real and how much is my imagination. And I was shocked at the number of people that showed up involved in mind control research that I knew personally. There is some. But on the other hand, at that time, the colleges never even used the word Tesla a lot of times. And there's a number of professors that had come to me since then, that the first 10 years were going strong, and thanked me for making it respectable to talk about Tesla in the classroom again. So, there is some, but a lot of it's just hidden and real subtle stuff. Then a lot of times, you have like the inventors, inventors have got to be really careful, because there are a lot of people out there who are good promoters and they talk a good game, but all they do is end up trying to rip the inventor off and keep them running around circles, filling out business plans and everything, and never coming through with the money they promised. And that's a big problem too. So
what does your group do to kind of help these inventors along? I know that it's very important at the conference to the fact that you've got investors who are conscious of helping humanity, if you will, as opposed to stealing technology or thwarting technology, which many of them are. Have you had that kind of infiltration even at your conference? But I know that it's very important for these people to meet up with people who are willing to fund these projects, because I know that that often can be the death knell for an inventor, just to run out of money.
Well, the big concern is to be careful who you're dealing with, you know. Start doing due diligence on people you even associate yourself with. We don't monitor people doing business deals. We don't get involved. What happens between an inventor and an investor is up to the inventor. You know, we don't get a percentage or anything, you know. We're just like a platform, a stage on which these guys can get up there and present these ideas, in which would never get a hearing in normal scientific circles. That was the whole basis for it. We have a magazine, which we've been negligent in getting out this year, but we're revamping our whole system here. And we'll be putting out information on that soon. But the whole purpose is to allow new ideas to have a hearing. Because you get tied up in this academic world where it's publish or perish, and there's a lot of resistance to a new idea coming out. You know, like GEET, for example. For many years, I was told that GEET was impossible because you couldn't have a plasma reaction at the temperature of an automobile. But the thermodynamics professors weren't taking into account the vacuum. And Paul fights the fight for many years, you know, on his own. And then lo and behold, all of a sudden MIT comes out with the plasmatron, a low-temperature plasma device, you know, which looks just like Paul's device, except instead of using the engine heat to heat the fuel, they heat it with an electric heater, which wastes energy. So that's what we're up against, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's what we exist to do, is to provide a counterbalance, you know, an alternative way of getting it out in the public's eyes. Because until the public sees it, tries it, and believes it actually works, it will never go nowhere.
Well, I noticed on your conference page where he was talking about this guy, is it Mike? Let me pull that up real quick. Mike, that's doing that first session about Tesla. There was a comment in that description of that first section that said that Tesla had basically demonstrated free electricity in 1899, but then failed to bring it forward for the next 50 years. Well, I certainly take exception to the word failed, because I don't know that he failed at all, but it certainly was squelched. It certainly was, this technology was taken underground, if you will, and not allowed to get out to the public. And maybe, I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but I think it's worth discussing, people, because we seek solutions here on Walls in Our Minds. We're looking for ways for people to really exercise their unalienable rights. And I believe that Tesla's rights were really, they were taken from him very much like things are being taken from people today. And I don't believe there's any question that some of this technology would have really benefited humanity, and especially our country, had it not been pigeonholed by people with money who were wanting to make money off of the people by selling them oil and other, using up other resources rather than giving them something that could have tremendously benefited them and kept them from being ripped off the way they were. And I'd just like to hear what you know or what you're aware of, maybe some interesting stories or something in that regard, if you don't mind.
Well, I think Michael Eaves is misspeaking, and I'll have to talk to him at the conference about it, because Tesla, at that time in 1899, believed he had to put the energy into the earth, okay, and be able to draw back anywhere else on the earth with an antenna, basically. Later on, might have been in the 20s or 30s, probably late 30s. He says his greatest mistake was his belief in that he had to put the energy into the earth because it's already there, you know. And that would really be truly a free energy, as opposed to the 1899 where he was actually having to put it in and extraction it elsewhere. You know, and that would be wireless power. And just a side note, Tesla's magnifying transmitter he built in Colorado Springs was the most powerful machine the Earth has ever seen then and even now. Because although the accelerator, the particle accelerators and everything they have now are greatly exceed the voltages or the current in some instances, Tesla, when you multiply the voltage by the current, far exceeded any of them in power, actual power. And that's what made Tesla so different.
And can you give people a little description of where that power was coming from, where he was drawing that power from?
Well, like when he came to Colorado Springs, you know, to build his magnifying transmitter in Colorado Springs, he actually got the power from the power plant in Colorado Springs. And then one day when he was doing a major test, the whole city was blacked out. And he realized at the time that it was the back EMF off of his device that had shorted out the generators at the city municipality plant, you know, the city electrical plant. And so he fixed their plant and put the appropriate protection so it would never happen again. But he used a regular Tesla coil. I don't know if you're really familiar with the actual Tesla coil. But a Tesla coil would take a voltage, a low voltage, low frequency, and change to high voltage and high frequency. And he tied this to an extra coil, which would be a third coil, and which was grounded. And he would be able to use the Tesla coil to excite the extra coil, and that's where he was getting all of his power from, is that extra coil, right out of the earth. You know. He was pulling appreciable amounts of power. Like I said, it's the most powerful machine on the planet. Because it not only had the voltages, it was pulling the current to match the voltages.
One of the rumors has it, this is Terry, that there are now existing units that can switch right over to Tesla's transmitting power. However, if they do that, it'll blow out every power-generating plant in the world because of the grounding situation and the fact that the current generators ground out one-third of the electricity generated into the ground. Now, in my book, it's just a rumor, but I don't know if Steve has any more information on that or not, but that's what I heard, Steve.
Well, me, I'm one of those guys, though. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I've seen so much come in there, and I've seen so many people make so many claims, and they can't back up their claims. And that's one of the reasons we have the conference, is because everyone talks a good show, but at a conference, you know, it's either put up or shut up, you know. And we have a lot of people in the audience who are engineering types or fellow inventors and that, and they have no qualms about asking the tough questions, you know, and holding people's feet to the fire on their claims. And which
whenever
I think is a healthy
this
thing.
Year is I'm sorry, were you finished?
Go ahead.
One of
Go
the speakers
ahead.
This year is David Talbot. He has written the book The Electric Universe, and he also has a YouTube video called Thunderbolt of the Gods. And his theory deals a lot with plasma, and it's more than just a theory. He can back it up with experiments done here on Earth. And Mars has a canyon, like the Grand Canyon here in Arizona, and this is what's on the movie there. It is 5 times deeper than our canyon, 10 times longer than our canyon, and Mars is only half the size of Earth.
Hey, hold on just a second. Red, are you there, Red?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm listening. Some background noise from somebody's mic, and I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have that interruption. So if anybody's not speaking, you might mute. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's quite all right. I heard it, too. It sounded like someone was snoring. I must be boring someone. But he has shown that, and I just spoke with him today, he has shown that the only way this canyon could have been formed was by plasma discharge. And it also explains what NASA calls blueberries. Well, they're actually, when he does the experiment here in the lab on Earth, the blueberries are actually hematite under a plasma effect. And the effects of the gouges in the planet, confirmed by the rover there, Mars rover, actually shows that the only way that could be achieved is by high plasma physics just discharge. So he's going to be at our conference. And then, shall I introduce Paul, Steve?
Sure.
I believe Paul's in this situation. Are you on the call, Paul? No, maybe he's not on. Paul Pantone has the GEET fuel processor. And he's going to be having a workshop there. Is that going to be a hands-on workshop, Steve?
Yes.
And
the workshops will be hands-on.
Running on GEET. And I've heard a guy call me the other day and tell me that he has a dump truck that he put GEET on it. He used to get 8 miles to the gallon, and it's now getting 46, which is an incredible thing. The GEET system can burn up to 80% water, and the rest, anything else that burns, anything with hydrocarbon in it. I have a little small engine here that runs on GEET, and I'm running it off of pure crude oil straight from the ground and 80% water. I was hoping he'd be on there to talk about that a little bit, but I guess not.
Well, we've got a couple of questions in our chat room online. I don't know if you guys can see the chat or not. If you're in front of a computer, one of our folks was asking, which was it, Edison or Tesla, that invented AC or DC?
Edison was the king of DC there. He had a lot of dynamos, and when Tesla first came to this country, Tesla actually worked for Edison. And he told Edison, you know, that his motors were losing a lot of energy there and were very wasteful. And Edison kind of was joking around and said, if you can improve these engines now, motors, I'll pay you $50,000, you know. And Tesla believed him, you know. And then he worked night and day to get the DC to be more efficient and everything. And then went to get his money from Edison, and Edison goes, first was amazed that Tesla improved his engine, and the second of all, he goes, well, that was an American joke, you know. So he never paid Tesla the $50,000 he was promised. And that was always a rift between him and Edison on that. But Tesla, on the other hand, was the inventor of AC power. When Edison first came on the scene, you know, AC was considered a toy, because they couldn't really use it for anything except for lighting. But once Tesla got working with it, he figured a way to make motors that could actually do work with it. And that was the polyphase alternating current motor, and that was Tesla's initial claim to fame. And later on, he went from there to work on the high frequency and the Tesla coils and stuff.
Let's see, we've got one other question about, let's get back over to here to my spot. I went to try to find something else and got away from it. Okay, another question was, What do you know about powering batteries buried into the ground?
Okay, are they talking about batteries buried into the ground, or are they talking about what they call an earth battery, in which they make these piles of alternating conductive and alternating materials, and they can actually build a battery, turn a hill into a battery that way? I have some friends, I think they, if I remember right, they were saying they actually make these things for the Amish. There's one place to use them. So.
Okay. Earth batteries is a question, yeah.
Yeah, be the earth batteries. That's how they make them, though. They just use alternating layers of material. They're not that efficient. But it's another way of doing things. And I always say something is better.
And I'm
than
also getting some more questions about what is GEET.
I found out that Paul is online, but he's held up at your screener there, I believe, and I have his phone number.
He needs to hit a 1 to raise his hand.
All right. And I think he's listening there, so he should be able to do that. He is the foremost.
Yeah, you should have heard me say it.
If you're there, Paul, press 1. I'll Skype him. I got him on Skype here.
If you give me an area code, that'll tip our producer, Dr. Tate, who's
all right,
watching
it's 580. 580. He said, I'm on hold in the radio line. Ask them to check their phone. Area code 580.
Well, let's keep talking because I don't know whether I sent Kate a backroom message on that, and hopefully she's listening to us.
All right.
We'll get him picked up here in just a second. Because I asked a while ago, and you said you thought he was online if there were any other callers, and the answer was no. So she checked the board and didn't see him. So, Paul, we apologize, but hang in there. I'm sure we'll get to you. Anyway, Fish in our chat room says that this earth batteries was an invention, they believe, of Howard Hughes back in the 1900s.
Well, they've been using earth batteries for centuries.
Yep.
They've been using earth batteries in centuries. And one of the people in a future conference, I'm hoping to get some of the people who do work with that type of material to our conference eventually. But it's so hard getting people to speak, you know. I mean, I am amazed, you know, at the response we get as early as we get it. But then, even then, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to piece together these conferences and get them just right, you know, the right mix and everything. So is Paul on yet?
Don't see any sign of a live mic. Paul, if you're there, feel free to speak up and let us know that you are live. I'm not sure that she's actually spotted him on the switchboard. Again, we've got a question here from several people wanting to know what GEET is.
Okay, GEET is an acronym for Global Environmental Energy Technology. Basically, it's a plasma-based technology in which is a chamber. You pull your carburetor off. You place the carburetor with the GEET device, which is a reactor, and in this reactor, it converts your fuel into a plasma. I mean, it turns into like a gaseous state. Puts a charge on it, magnetic thing, and kind of like twists all the energy out of it. And what goes in your your engine is no longer gasoline, it's the basic elements, okay? And what comes out on the back end is mostly oxygen, you know. There's more oxygen coming out of a gate device than actually is in the ambient air, and that's why it will fail an emissions test, you know, because the oxygen levels are so high. And the hydrocarbons are on the air scale, the zero carbon monoxide, zero carbon dioxide, consistently with this device when it's operating properly. And
I think we better simplify this, because I'm surprised somebody hasn't put a question in here. What is plasma? They probably, some of them are sitting there envisioning putting blood in the thing and running out of it. See, I know what plasma is because I took advanced physics at the University of Tennessee some years ago and had to do a lecture, and my lecture was on plasma phenomena and its relationship to UFOs. So I have a very good understanding of magnetic fields and ionized gases, and that's what plasma is, folks. It's an ionized gas.
It's ionized, and when it goes through this reactor, it breaks everything up, you know. Kind of think of it as a refinery in your engine, you know. And it's very effective. Paul's been doing this since the early 1990s that I know of, and even before. You know, he's devoted a greater part of his life to this. And all I can say is it works, you know, consistently.
If I may interrupt here, Paul has called in. I told him that the secretary's looking for the call from area code 580. Have you pressed 1 yet? And he says yes many times.
Okay, I will text Kate because I'm not getting any response on my instant message on my Skype here. So let me... you guys go ahead and talk about something to do with the conference or something, and I'll, or plasma
right,
or whatever, and I'll be right back with you here in a second.
Okay, thanks.
Well, in addition to all this, no, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a Bedini device, but John Bedini had like a magnetic motor where he uses pulses to charge batteries and that. We will have... one of those devices at our conference as well. And right now they're marketing it as a pulsed battery charger with, and it's over Unity. And then we're also going to have another radiant energy device, the Kohler Magnetic Current Apparatus, which was built in the 1920s by this guy Hans Kohler in Germany. And the British intelligence, after World War I, confiscated all the notes that they could on this, and they actually did a lot of research. And Dr. Ludwig will be coming from Germany, and he's going to try to have a miniature device with him to demonstrate at the conference. I don't know.
I've seen some YouTube or videos from... over in Europe. I don't know if it's Germany or close to there, where they take a regular fan, like a window fan or just any kind of fan unit, and they reconfigure the wiring on it, and they unplug it. They put like an extra resistor or some kind of unit, you know, some kind of electrical device that they attach in there. They change from like 2 or 3 poles to 3 or 4 poles. And after rewiring it, they unplug it and start the fan like you would an old prop plane, and then it just continues to run on its own. Is that similar type of technology to what you're talking about as far as the Bedini motor? Or Bedini generator, excuse me.
His didn't turn like a prop, you know. I've seen one built at my first conference back in 84, before the conference, and he had like a bunch of coils. And as it spins, those coils get charge or discharge, keeping the thing spinning, you know, and they're pulsing the batteries. And then Bedini showed up at that conference, but he wasn't on the schedule. But he had a huge device. We also will be getting into the Keeley technology, too. John Keeley was more into sound, and he could like disintegrate things with sound. He even had a car that's supposed to run on sound. Some people consider him a fraud. Other people consider him a man of, beyond his time. And
well, what's the one thing, Steve, in this conference that's coming up that you're most excited to hear about or see?
Wow. That's just like you ask me a kid when he walks in a kid's store, which piece of candy you like best?
Well, pick two or three.
I have no favorites. Yeah, they're all just great, you know. You know, when you get to this stuff, you know, because all this stuff is considered impossible, when anything works, you know, you have to be impressed. Because you're doing what was supposed to be impossible, and you're making the ordinary into extraordinary, the impossible into possible, you know. I just simple things like, okay, we have these patches, okay, lifeway patches. If you're hurting, you know, you have a pain somewhere, right? You put these patches on, it takes the pain away. You know, you think, wow, this is a
instantly.
This is a bunch of BS. This can't really be true. Well, what they've done is they've come up with a way of using thermal imaging cameras, you know, the stuff they use in NASA, and you take thermal pictures of people in pain and can see the redness where they hurt because pain creates heat. You put the patch on, the red disappears, turns green. So there you just turn a very subjective measurement, which you have to trust someone, into a very objective observation, you know. So I'm just impressed by the ingenuity of all these people. And I see you have one of the people want to know the vision of practical uses of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping to see it there. But when this gentleman comes up, he's using Marco Roden's technology. And this guy's built at least 15 or more devices in the last couple of years. And he's supposed to have a dynamo that, like I say, extracts the energy right out of the air. If that is true, then that will really be another game changer there, because that makes electric cars practical. Because you no longer have to plug them in, you know, you just or wait for the sunlight to charge up a solar car.
Well, that's precisely what my buddy down in Austin has put together. Is he actually tested it out and proved that you can pull right out of the electromagnetic field in the atmosphere and enough power to probably at least power a smaller average size home.
Well, I'd like to see what he's got, because, you know, I don't believe he's pulling it out of the atmosphere. I believe he's pulling out of the space-time fabric, you know, that permeates the universe. You know, I believe in it, you know. I'm really not a believer because I've done it. I've seen it, so I can't say I'm a believer. I'm a knower. You know, I'm like the Doubting Thomas, you know. Thomas did not come to his faith in Christ through a belief. He came from actually putting his hand in the side there. Well, once you've done that, it's no longer faith. You know. You understand what I'm saying? And that's kind of where
yeah,
I'm
I
at.
Understand what you're
I
saying.
Know this because I've done some of it. And I'm glad these guys are. I'd like to talk to these guys who are doing it, because I've never been able to replicate it, and that's a big problem. You know, is replication.
Paul, are you now live with a live mic?
Can you hear me?
We hear you. Just
I can hear you.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
We hear you.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
okay,
I was live all this time.
So tell us about GEAT.
Well, we started Dive, started working on GEAT in 1979. By 1983, I had my first car that was able to run on crude oil, Mountain Dew, anything I put in the fuel tank, including water. But after a few months, I was told by all my friends, get rid of the water idea, they'll kill me. So we got rid of it, and we started looking for ways to just reduce emissions. And I never would have believed back then that Greenpeace, Sierra Club, and all these other politicians would have said, we're not interested. We only want donations. We do not want solutions. So it has been a long battle, and thanks to Steve back in 1994 talking me into my first show, we have had millions of people from around the world see it. I'm hearing little bits of static, so I'm not sure you're able to hear everything I said.
Yeah, we hear you.
You're loud and clear. You
oh,
know, just
great.
let me clarify this for everybody. We're having a fairly significant solar storm that has traveled its way to Earth and is causing all kinds of problems today with every kind of electronics. I've been having trouble with my Skype connections, with my cell phone connections. Things are just a little bit unstable today, and I think there's even a delay that's kind of being caused within our BTR, so Block Talk Radio here, the technology. And I think everybody's having a little bit of trouble hearing each other, and so we end up talking over each other, and then I think we're just going to have to be patient and work through this because it's happening to all of us. So let's just be aware of that. And let me throw a question out to all of you guys. My buddy Go Fish here in the chat room, now that I know who Go Fish is, he's asking if any of you know about gallium arsenide concentrator photovoltaic solar panels.
Well, it's been a while, but I used to do solar cell fabrication in our college there, but that was back in 84. And one of the reasons they liked gallium arsenide was easier to work with than the silicon. It was cheaper, and the band gap, you know, that you have to, the voltage you have to apply to the cell would be less than what you needed for a silicon-based solar cell. And that's about the extent I would know of it right at this particular time. Hello.
Anyone else want to comment on that?
Not here.
Paul, they've been asking you questions about stuff for the last 30 minutes, and I know that you've got other things that you were wanting to contribute. So you're welcome to revisit any of that stuff
if
you'd like to.
This year at the show, we're going to be having a few vehicles. We're waiting to get confirmation on what day they'll be there. But we will have a couple of vehicles there that should be getting at least 50% or more better mileage so that we can be within the guidelines of our great government when it said in 1951 nothing could be better than 70% improvement or it had to be confiscated. So we're trying to make sure that generators that are going to be there and other engines, if we're using conventional fuels, will only get the 50 to 60% range of improvement. Now, when it comes to the other engines, we will have fun engines there to run on soda pop, coffee, and a little bit of sugar. We always bring fun fuel.
I even heard
now, for those who do want to modify, if they want to modify their cars, we'll have a schedule posted where they can come to during the show or shortly after the show, and they can come into school or they can do a short training program while they're there.
I don't suppose we're going to have a demonstration of the fellow with the steam turbine truck engine, are we?
I don't know if we're going to have a steam turbine there. I know Jeff Hayes normally cover turbines in that, Tesla turbines in that. But that's the first I heard about a steam turbine truck engine.
Well, it's Terry. You sent me a link on that guy. You sent me a link on that guy who was packing heat. I noticed when he was loading something on a van and his on his website. But you sent me a deal about where he only uses about 6 gallons a year of some type of fuel to kickstart his system.
It's a brand new, fresh link, and I haven't had any time to really explore the validity of that yet. It was just something I got that day that I felt very interested in. And I find these things on the web, and I pass them out to other people to kind of give me a feedback on them to what they think. And if I get a lot of feedbacks of real positive results, then I like to pursue it further and maybe get in contact with the person doing it to be able to have him speak at our conference. Right now, this year, all the positions are filled, but there's always next year.
Now, earlier during the show, the part that I missed, somebody had mentioned how inventors are harassed and sometimes disposed of. That was tried with me several times out of California and then in Utah. And that story is up on the Internet at geekfriends.net, how the state of Utah intercepted me, grabbed me, and put me in a mental facility, maximum security, so I couldn't contact people. And they did not want me to leave there until they had gotten my patent from me. So they drilled out all my teeth, and after being there for 3.5 years, I finally left with a broken leg and no teeth in my head, but I still have my patent. Things like this will continue to go on until more and more people are awake and realize these things do work.
And the important thing is, if you know of an inventor that's in a legal situation, make sure people are in the audience and the judge knows that he's being watched. Because I think Paul would have gotten the needle in his back on the first hearing there had we not had about 20 or 30 people show up from the conference on that day. It just happened to be on our during our conference in Salt Lake City.
Yes, thanks to the conference. Many witnesses were sitting in the audience that day when the judge came in, and he asked what all these witnesses were for. They all stood up and said, "Your Honor, we have equipment out front. You want to go for a ride? You want to see an engine running on Mountain Dew? We have all these things out here right now for you to see." And he was stopped right there. They said, "Please leave the courtroom. We don't want any witnesses."
Where was this? Where was this court?
Oh, that was in Utah.
And that was one of the reasons we moved
to Salt Lake, to Albuquerque. What was your experience about this, where you said they drilled out your teeth?
Oh, yeah. They had me handcuffed to the dentist chair and drilled out all of my teeth hollow. Pictures of it are on the Internet. And they said, "If you want your teeth fixed and you want to be out of pain, sign your patent over."
Were these people ever prosecuted?
The Attorney General. But if you look at the whole group, they all go to the same church here in Utah.
Whoa. And you say you've got pictures of this on the Internet?
Oh, yeah. We've even got the judge saying the Constitution does not apply in my courtroom, and no, you do not have any civil rights. The Bill of Rights and the Constitution do not apply here.
Is this Paul speaking? Yeah.
Yes.
When did this happen, Paul?
I was arrested in December of 2005, and thanks to thousands of people around the country that were helping, from Steve to my son and Terry, and people all over Europe. Enough people finally put enough pressure on them that I was released 3 years ago.
Wow. Well, we've talked a lot about political prisoners on this show, but this is a most unusual story.
Judge refused any and all proof. He didn't care if it was physical proof or not. If it couldn't be put in a science book and signed by somebody at a local Mormon university, it wasn't going to be presented.
And that's also all legal in black and white in their little fine print in their laws that they write. It is okay for a prosecutor to manufacture evidence. It's okay for a prosecutor to deny evidence on behalf of the person that's the defendant. It's in black and white. We think we got it right. We don't.
My buddy Katie did put a link in here for geekfriends.net.
Go to the prosecution or persecution of inventor and medical malpractice in there, and you will see pictures of my broken foot and all my teeth drilled out hollow. I had a beautiful set of teeth a week before I was arrested. The last time that anybody got a picture of me before they arrested me.
So, Paul, before you got arrested, did you know that we were all enslaved?
No, well, I did to a point, but I didn't realize just how bad the corruption was until actually about 12 hours after I was arrested and sitting in the jail, and I started asking people around me, what are you in here for? And over 50% of the people in the section I was in said they were in there for suspicion of possible forgery instruments. Having a pencil or a pen on their body in the state of Utah is good enough to hold you for 6 months without a trial.
My question is why in the dickens haven't I heard about you before now?
Same reason I haven't heard about you until today.
Test attack. We've been publishing
we hear stories like this. And we...
Yep, too many.
Oh, this is just the tip of the iceberg. When I was over in Denver all the time, and when Steve first invited me over to Colorado to the Tesla conferences, I attended one after another up there, and we ran engines on battery acid, pickle juice, Mountain Dew, anything you could dream of putting in the fuel tank, we did. You didn't see any cameras there hardly, except in Colorado Springs. They'd come out and cover it once in a while for the fun fuel. But when you start talking about have zero emission and how the EPA has no legal authority in the United States to approve anything, they have no legal right, according to Congress, to approve, certify, or endorse any aftermarket item. But they've terrified the public into believing they do. I mean, it's pretty bad. When I was in Salt Lake, I drove my Suburban in to try to get certification so I could get my driver's
Whoever's talking is breaking up pretty bad right at the moment. I don't know if it's your mic or what, but it really broke up pretty bad. I have a question from my friend Katie did in chat. She wanted to kind of get your vision of the practical uses this technology how it can apply in our homes. And she mentioned national security, but I think right now most of the uses for the technology that the government has is being used against our national security rather than to enhance it.
It's national economic security, which they want to maintain.
Well, national or international?
Well,
it's really the security of the elite.
Exactly. Not I mean, we the people
they're doing
meaning
everything.
Us, but we the people meaning them.
Them.
Yes. Them is in the
most
day.
People know
everything
that
they
means.
Ever told me was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I'm sure that, you know, at least one listener out there, out of the many listeners that we've got listening to us tonight, I'm sure there's at least one of them that is saying, Yeah, right. I'm sure they drilled out all of his teeth. And I'm sure that even though he can show it on the Internet, you know, and make it look like that, well, how do I know that, these people in Utah actually are the ones that did that?
Because I can prove with photographs before and after, including from dentist's office, while they were doing some of these little shenanigans. I was so badly infected they could not do surgery on me at the surgery room at a real hospital. They said the infection in his face from all of his rotting teeth is so intense. If we dare operate on his foot, he'll probably die. So they refused surgery on me twice.
And that's
so
not, all of that is documented.
Did you end up losing your teeth?
Oh, yeah, every one of them.
And there's no one that will do anything about this.
Oh, no. No, we tried to fight this.
It always seems to happen when he's talking.
Yeah. Terry, Steve, you guys have been aware of this guy for some time, right?
Yes, I have. I've known Paul since the 90s, early 90s.
So you guys watched this whole thing transpire. You guys followed it as it happened.
Yeah, we showed up on the courtroom when he was they were going to stick a needle in his back. That's when we first showed up in the courtroom itself, and then they formed a group, and they made sure that someone was always in the courtroom when Paul was having a hearing. And we had people, clandestine ways of getting through to Paul because he couldn't call him directly in that. He could only talk to his brother. And so we had to do some electronic wizardry to have him be able to come to our conferences via a telephone while he was in there. You know, that's why we moved our conference from Salt Lake to... Albuquerque, because if they could do this to Paul, you know, they could do it to anyone. You know, just gin up some reason, some excuse, you know, break out a taillight and say, take you to court, and then I'll tell you you're not competent or you need to go in for evaluation for competency, you know. And then next thing you know, you're in this gulag. You know. There's even articles in the Salt Lake City newspaper about Paul's ordeal while he was in there. So it's documented. I mean, the ordeal.
It's a very unbiased article as well.
Yeah.
It shows all sides.
And it's a very corrupt system, and everyone's interrelated up there. And when we tried to get him recused, the judge recused himself. He wouldn't do it, so they took it to another judge to recuse him, right? And the judge was the judge's brother. He refused to rule against his brother.
That was really
our
funny.
Guys
there was a coincidence factor. One of my mechanics working for me is a guy named Hanson. Now, he was helping me to build a generator, and some of the things we built, the electrical devices hooked to the exhaust pipe, so you could actually use the electricity from the exhaust pipe. Because the exhaust pipe puts out more electricity than the power coming from the engine. Well, once we had that running and another engine running on a moped, he and his relatives wanted to buy me out. Now, he didn't mention to me at that time that one of his relatives is a Judge Royal Hanson, the judge who sentenced me. But they sent another guy up who was called, I think, Governor John Huntsman, to see if he could take over running my company. And when I told them I wouldn't work for the Huntsman if they were the last people on earth, I think I'd rather work with Satan himself. He was offended. And 3 days later, a warrant for my arrest was issued. So no, there is no dirty politics there whatsoever.
Yeah, here's a good question in the chat room. Isn't the Marriott owned by the Mormons?
Yes.
Actually, the Marriott, that might be the Marriott chain, but you got to understand how this works, okay? You have chains, but all these individual hotels are owned by companies. Now, the company we work with is the John Hammond Company, and they were very they're very generous with us, you know, and they really help us out. Our biggest beef is with the Catholic diocese up in Santa Fe, who would go to this particular hotel and lock up all the rooms, you know, so all the banquet space. But now we have it all locked up, so we don't have to deal with the archdiocese anymore. So.
And the diocese only used half the rooms they locked up.
Yeah. But anyway, we got the whole hotel now. And as far as Marriott, the chain might be a Mormon base, but this particular hotel is owned by, like I said, the John Hammond Company. So
interesting.
And I would say the Catholic Church has more influence on this particular one than the Mormon Church does. Although I do have a lot of Mormon friends,
that
and they will
be
there.
That makes me feel really good. That makes
I have
really
doubt about
my comfort level. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Somebody's got a lot of water sounds going on in the background.
Somebody's leaking.
You might mute.
Well, that might be our water technology there. Old Clayton Nolte with the structured water.
Yes.
Well, if you don't know beans about Tesla and you're not really an inventor, and you're not interested in investing in inventors, why should somebody come to this conference?
Well, I could
my point is, you come to the conference to learn. You know, as long as you're cloaked in ignorance, people could do anything they want with you. But once you know that something is possible, you don't need to know how it is possible, but just that it can be done. Your whole mindset changes, okay, and opens up new doors. And once you get a certain percentage of the population believing that something is possible, then it can be done. And then only then can change occur.
And if anyone wants to come and not watch the presenters, we have a huge vending area with a lot of very exquisite devices that people are vending there in the area. And that's free. You don't have to pay to go in to see that.
That's interesting. So you've got a lot of new technology that vendors will be presenting?
Yes. Yes.
So this in the last year, and perhaps at this convention, is there anything that you could say will change the way people live or you know what they do each day in their life that's going to significantly impact that at this convention or conference?
They will find that there. To address that, basically, a lot of the people that come are researchers, and they mingle with the inventors, and they share ideas to get up front and personal. The inventors are able to share things that they wouldn't publicly share online, but when you're there, you will get a lot of information that you wouldn't get without being there.
Can you give me one example of something that somebody could come down there and acquire or learn about that they're going to apply in their everyday life or on their property?
Well,
yeah,
let me point out that my friend Leah, she came to my conference, learned about the photon genie, and was able to get one taken home and used on her mother. Her mother was on her deathbed. Her mother is improving constantly. I would say that's a good example of how a person came to our conference, learned about something, and is using it on a daily basis to improve their life.
Well, my buddy Red Beckman, who's listening, has rheumatoid arthritis. What will it do for him?
I'm not a doctor. I can't diagnose and give you treatments and that. But I can tell you about a friend of mine who did have rheumatoid arthritis, and she was supposed to be on her trial, and it got so bad she couldn't even eat, and she found out about these what they call goat shots, and that turned it around for her, you know. So like I say, you know, we will have regular doctors there. I mean, well, they're real doctors, but they also believe in alternatives and that. And so we do have those kind of people right there at the conference, and some are vendors. So it'd be a good place
Lifeway
to investigate
patch.
Alternatives.
The Lifeway
don't
patch
take...
has been shown effective for diabetes and arthritis.
We have a caller that's calling in. You guys want to take a question from a caller?
Sure.
Area code 601, you are live.
Well, howdy. This is Robert. I want to say hello to Paul in Mississippi and Terry. I've talked to you guys before.
Hello,
I used to
Robert.
Write the front page. Yeah, man. I used to write the front page of the Meridian Star newspaper. And I've been kind of watching all this, and I'm listening to you guys, and I think this is something every inventor on Earth should know. The guy who owned the major stock portion of General Electric, Mr. Fulford, his great-grandson is reporting now. But Mr. Fulford was going to fund Tesla 100%, and he died as the first man who ever was in a car wreck. He was a Canadian, extremely wealthy financier, and Fulford said they took his money. They took it all. Well, that isn't that interesting. But now Fulford is saying that this black op government that has been shutting America down as far as inventor goes, their gold is gone, and the black op that is crushing America, they have no money left, and they're quietly being shut down by the Chinese, who are backing all the gold dollars in the world by gold. And they blacklisted the U.S. dollar out of Washington. And the first thing they're going to do is stop the wars. Second thing they're going to do is fund zero-point energy devices, green the deserts, supply people with the energy they need, stop poverty, and send the U.S. and other military into space by building an artificial planet. If you don't believe me, I can only tell you the information. I can't prove it. But his blog... is Terry can send you the link. It's the Koala Peli link I sent you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really shaking some trees right now.
You're referring to Ben Fulford out of Japan, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the question is, who is this guy? Well, he's Fulford's great-grandson, but he was the senior editor for Forbes magazine in Japan for like 8 years, and he was muckraking, and a full Yakuza and walked in with a Masonic ring. And he said, if I touch you with this ring, you're dead. Stop exposing us. The next day, the White Dragon Society representative came in and said, you tell Mr. Rockefeller that if you're harmed in any way, we will exterminate his entire family bloodline. So that's what he says is really going on. So all I can say is, there it is. And on top of all this, I've been following Mr. Keshi. And I basically, I'm a film director, and I told him, well, look, I'll be glad to, film the first flight. You know, these films could make you a fortune. You know, the first flight to the moon, first flight to Mars. And so he and I have been talking for over a year, but he said he's given the ignition system to his MagGrav sphere, which is about the size of a grapefruit, that can be made any size you want it to travel into space without burning it or using any energy whatsoever. And finally, I have another question. Boom, boom, boom. Isn't it interesting that the U.S. military has drones that can fly for days? And don't you think it's probably 365 days? Boom, there you go. That's what I've been watching this really close, guys. You deserve to know.
Well, can you elaborate at all on who in China? Because there's more than one faction in China. One, you've got those that are in control of the government, which are really the one world order people. And then you've also got the Chinese. You got the Chinese royal family, which are not the government.
Right.
Which I believe
at Fulford.
Fulford is. That's
yeah,
also
Fulford's
where
very
M1.
Clear on this.
Well, I'll let you talk.
Yeah, okay. I've listened and watched the gun over everything he's got. He said the Ming Dynasty, when the original royal family that was the best, or the one most Chinese people considered the real royal family, they were coming and railroaded, and they took all their gold and buried just tons of it in these caves that they still have. And so Mao Zedong was the Rothschild guy, a communist. And so then they went and took over Japan. So most of these Japanese politicians are now running by Rockefeller. And Fulford says they hit Japan. They threatened them for 2 years that if they didn't give them their gold, they were going to hit Japan and blow it off the face of the earth. And even Putin said, we'll take all the Japan refugees that need to come to Russia. You have a place for you. So unless you have the time to go through all Fulford stuff, the basic bottom line is that White Dragon Society represents the Ming Dynasty gold. They have overpowered all of the other governments in China, which has all the Rothschilds upset. And so they're worried because basically it has come down to a book of codes. They have taken the book of codes away from the Rothschilds, the bankers, all of them. They have no more money left. You're going to watch the wars quietly shut down. They're going to do everything they can to make everything as pretty looking as they can. But they went after Gaddafi because he's got $180 billion in gold and oil. And they're out of gold and oil. So guess where they went to get some oil? Well, Gaddafi blew up all of his oil tanks. You know, you got to watch the news. But when you watch Fulford, you know, you can see these things happening just a little at the time. But he said, what we're trying to do is convince these people, we want your military to go, but we want you to first of all, green the earth. Use this zero-point technology to pump water into the deserts. Because only 17% of the world's population is living in green areas. The rest of it's basically desert. So we'll use this zero-point energy to pump the ocean water out and desalinate it and give everybody zero-point energy. You know, everybody will have their own generator for their house, and then we'll go from there. And the oil companies will sell you the little generator. Go ahead, you know, let the power companies sell you a generator for, I don't know, $2,000. But that's what Fulford's saying, that they're negotiating at the very highest levels, and pretty much everybody on Earth. I would say the last thing that Fulford said that, you know, we can get through this quickly, they were told last Monday, 2 weeks ago rather, either make peace with the Palestinians or else you have no more friends. We do not want your paper money. We will not give you any gold. We will not give you any oil, period.
Ben's been kind of going through a strange transition here in the last 60 days, particularly after the earthquake and tsunami over in Japan. He's been looking a little rough around the edges, and I've also even seen him for the first time asking for donations. What do you have to say about that?
Well, when you go back to his site, the donations was just to maintain the site, which cost a lot of money, and it was really not for him. It was to help set up the White Dragon. Look what they're calling it. It's a financial institution that has now been set up that is going to take funds from across the world to implement these very things that he just talked about. And I would say that he's negotiating 24 hours a day.
Okay, I'm hearing you calling it the White Dragon, but I know they set up the White Dragon Foundation, but it was my understanding that the group that he represents, and he's actually the first Anglo in some 500 years of existence of this, Black Dragon Society, which is really, it's kind of like an Asian secret society, if you will. And because of his working with some of these people as even a bartender in some of the clubs they owned in Japan, he got to be in a level of trust with them more than any Anglo has ever. And he is actually acting as a voice for them.
Yep.
For example, after the elite put the laboratory-created virus SARS out there to attack the Asian DNA, Fulford was sent out to make the threat that you referred to earlier, and that was that if they pull anything like this again against the Asian societies, that the Asians will send their 100,000 assassins to kill Rockefeller and Rothschild's 10,000 disassociated folks around the world. That's what
all those things are in his website, and the Chinese came back and said, well, you don't need to be telling people that we want to kill people. Everybody understands that. That's a given. It's kind of rude. But he is basically the best translator that they know of. I would say that, you know, what does this have to do with the Tesla conference? What it has to do with is that the thing that most of us don't get is that this small group of inbred seven families, there are seven old men, head of each family kind of deal, Fulford says, they sit around and make all these decisions, and they're inbred and they're psychopathic gangsters they're Nazis who believe that human beings should be exterminated. They're Nazis, and their first one in America was George Bush Sr. So you can thank him for shutting all the inventors down, Fulford says.
Well, that's not quite true.
That's what Fulford says. I mean, he names David
Rockefeller,
J. Rockefeller.
Well, you're forgetting about his father, Prescott.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're right. Look it up, the financier of Hitler. Anyway, but the point is that what does this have to do with what zero-point energy devices and what Paul is trying to do, and Terry's trying to do? They're saying the first thing they're going to do, we've got to stop all the starvation of these innocent people and no more wars. We're tired of these wars. But the next thing they're going to do is they're going to fund zero-point energy inventors with billions. And Ben said that they have found the gold that these guys have been harboring back since the pharaohs, and it all goes back to the pagan kings of Babylon. And there are 35 zeros in the number. So you need a million, you need two, ten, fine, you're going to have it. When? I kind of get the feeling that we've been hearing this, it's been trickling down, but I think this is the source of these funds, and they're very anxious to get it done. And basically Fulford's saying that, you know, we're one by one, we're talking to these guys at the highest level and saying, look, why would you want to go kill these people in Afghanistan when you can go in there and rebuild their houses you've blown up, pump in some water, use these zero-point devices to give them electricity, let them live their life. And they're coming around. That's what Fulford's saying. They're slowly coming around. Not all of them. And the ones who truly are criminals, they almost arrested Kissinger, and they broke up the conference in the middle of it. The Swiss police were going in to arrest him, and they all left.
Oh, is that what happened? I haven't heard that story.
Yeah.
I dropped off of that story right before that happened, and I didn't see any more about it. So can you elaborate on that, exactly how that came down? Because I saw the interviews where the one guy that's in the Congress over there or the Parliament over there was reporting directly through Alex Jones and was reporting on this, and then I didn't see any follow-up to it. So,
well, see, it just abruptly ended. But they were going to arrest Kissinger for crimes against humanity. Along with it, in case you haven't gotten this, they found the code books, they got into the computers, and they have traced back the funding back to the Black Pope who hides in the Vatican, who has nothing to do, he's a Jesuit something or other, and the Catholics, good Catholics, have isolated that man. He was the head of the entire operation on Earth. But they found the funding, and the same guy that was signing the checks to fund the CIA was also signing the same checks for Al-Qaeda. And they also have a $1 trillion lawsuit going against all of these corrupt bankers that are – I mean, it's all just happening. But you know what? In America, you're not going to hear about it. Not on our news.
We've gone here. Let's go down this rabbit hole for a minute because – you know, I'm aware of a number of different situations, and I wish Mark was on the phone with us. I don't know if you're listening, Mark, but if you are, please call in. Let me slow down. Hans Kolvenbach was the Black Pope until a few years ago. It's my understanding that he has personally threatened Ben Fulford recently, and that's been apparently documented.
Yep.
But Coleman back apparently is still, even though he's no longer considered the major general of the Society of Jesus, which is what the Jesuits are known as, even though he stepped down from that position, he's still running things. He's still the top dog. And he's actually making some pretty pretty outward and overt threats that it's startling to hear them being so brazen today, because it's like they don't care who knows anymore. They're apparently so close to accomplishing their goals that they don't think anybody can stop them.
Okay.
And I know of a number of different situations, which I'm not going to get into all the details of those rabbit holes right this minute, but I can tell you that H.W. Bush still gets, from my understanding, his daily CIA briefings, which means just the same as he was running the CIA when Kennedy was taken down, he's still running it today, no matter who's got the title in there and supposedly the third element of the Trilateral Commission. H.W. Bush is still a part of that. He and Kissinger and those guys work closely together.
Yeah.
And
Fulford said George Bush Sr. is really kind of losing his mind and barely there. But I hear you. And Fulford responded to this. Netanyahu called Japan's emperor, rather than the prime minister, and said, well, we got the nukes and we're going to nuke Japan. And so he was promptly told, that they don't have a monopoly on nuclear warheads. And so cool your jets. But what's happening is, in droves, the people that have been supporting these creeps are abandoning them because they're not getting paid $2,000 a day anymore. They don't have all the little pretty girls running around there paying $2,000 a day anymore because they're out of money. And they're slowly falling apart one by one. And on top of all that, the head of the Deutsche Bank basically called the White Dragon Society and said, we're into your new financial society, because there's no money left. There's nothing left but numbers in the computers. And Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands today, Fulford said, asked to join the White Dragon Society financial system. So they're just coming over, you know, but everybody's tired of them. Everybody. Everybody's disgusted with them, and they will not cooperate with them at any level, according to Fulford. So, did I drop too many bombs?
Well, you know, I think we're a little off topic, but I think it is important to tie this back in to the conference that's coming up. People need to understand that technology is very, very important. And them stealing the technology that they have stolen from Tesla himself. Go look at Otto Skorzeny's deathbed confession that was published at the Idaho Observer by Don Nikoloff, and read that whole thing. It's a long story. It's nearly a book in that article. And if you read that, you'll see where there was even a confession that Skorzeny and I forget the other guy's name right offhand were involved in bumping Tesla off and taking all of his records.
Same people.
It's all the same people. But this technology is important to us. I'm going to get on a soapbox, and you guys can challenge me on this, and I'll just see. I believe that this technology is extremely important, just in the same way that it's important for us to have proprietary ownership as people. We need proprietary ownership of our money, because that's the only way we can cut off this international banking vortex that they set up through the Federal Reserve and the IMF and the whole IRS situation, and of course Red Beckman, who's online, is the co-author of The Law That Never Was. He proved that the 16th Amendment was never ratified, you know, as well as the 17th. He's the one that commissioned and sent Bill Benson out to obtain all those certified documents from the state. My point is that they have stolen our production. And a part of the way that they've stolen our production is not just by controlling our money, but they have controlled our technology. And for us to come out and to get these technologies into public hands and to begin to use them is one of the ways that we can begin to exercise our unalienable rights and our freedom. So, you know, I've been asking you guys kind of tough questions, trying to get you to come back and feed some of this, but this is what I believe, and this is why I believe in what you're doing is so vitally important, because so many people like Tesla have been taken out of the picture. And every time a good invention, a good technology tried to come forth, they've either bought it off or they bought the people who took them out one way or another, either by threatening their families or taking the people out or buying them off. And it's the same way with our media today. Our media is either bought off or scared off. Take your pick. And if somebody opens their mouth, they might just not be breathing much longer. And the reason that this is happening is Red Beckman talks about it all the time. He talks about the fact that who is responsible? Who's responsible for letting these elitists do this to us, to steal our production, to steal our technology? No, you are. Every person listening to this show is responsible.
Yes.
God is going to hold us, the people, responsible because we're the ones that have worshipped the false gods. We're the ones that have abdicated our power to these people. They're not responsible for it. We're responsible for it. And one of the reasons why people need to go to this conference is to become responsible. It's
they
a responsible thing to get involved in this.
May I ask you something for a moment?
Paul, who's
trying
to do the right thing.
Well,
can I say something for a
moment? There was no choice.
Hello?
I didn't have a choice.
We're hearing
am
you.
Am I being heard?
Yes, you
Hello?
Are being
yes,
heard.
Sir.
People are just talking
okay.
over you.
I just had a quick interjection on the 16th Amendment. It's my understanding that it was ratified by silent acquiescence, by not complaining against it. We actually were part of it and accepted it. And there is only one way out of this system, and it's in the Law of Nations, the area where all the royalty of the world have to draw their power from the Law of Nations, and there is one peaceful way out. If they do not give it to you, all the powers is jeopardized for all the kings and queens in the world, and that is to become an ambassador of your own country, where you opt out of the situation that you're in, and you opt into being self-responsible and having your own country. That's all I had to say about that. If somebody wants to know more about it, I can steer them to a website.
Well, we're going to get the money, guys, okay? Fulford's telling us you're going to get the money for your inventions. Millions.
Well, I've never expected the handout. I'm going to keep earning it. This show's going to help.
Kate, I'm going to ask you to join us in this conversation and give us a little contribution here, because I believe that your points need to be made. So if you'll give yourself a live mic, I want you to come in and join this conversation. She's not available to do that right now. Okay. Well, Steve, did I lose everybody?
No, I'm here. I think you're okay.
Steve,
well,
are you there?
Steve, I spent a little time on my soapbox. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what I said.
Terry?
Yes.
I'm here.
Yeah, did you want to respond to that?
Yes, please.
I guess I said what I had meant to say on that, on the law of acquiescence. The right of acquiescence is the, I don't know how to put it in layman's terms, it's whereby if you do not protest, you actually become part of. And that's how we all became part of a debt society and took on the debt from the Revolutionary War, where we owned, where we owed France a lot of money. So the Constitution was written for we the people, meaning them as, there's a word for that, signers on the Constitution and their families. And the rest of us are just whatever they rules they want to put out to us. We've accepted those rules by not contesting them at the time the Constitution was written. But we were fooled into that by believing that these people thought that we the people meant us. It all has to do with language, down the language rabbit hole, well, I don't know how to put it any other way than that. It's the only way out is to become a sovereign individual. I know one person who has done it. He went to the Supreme Court for his final determination. He knew that they had to give it to him, because if they didn't, none of the kings and queens in the world would have a basis for sovereignty, for their own sovereignty. And because he did that, he was standing in front of the Supreme Court wondering what they were going to say. He knew they had to give it to him. They told him, congratulations, you figured it out. And that person is now working on some cases for all of us here in this little community to become part of our own sovereign nation. Not liable for all their rules and regulations, but for our own. On the same token, we cannot expect anything from them in the way of benefits, say, like Social Security, things like that, because we've opted out of that. We think we can do a better job. And most of us can, but we have to learn and study and pledge to ourselves that we're going to do it on our own. We don't need all these so-called ministers telling us what we should do. We need to find out from within ourselves and communicate with our own nature, our own guides, to determine what is right for ourselves. The basic rule is to do no harm.
Well, Red Beckman's got a live mic now. I think, Red, I hope you heard our conversation regarding the 16th Amendment and the way that they've been stealing our production, and the fact that people need to be responsible to go to conferences like this and be aware of what technology is out there so that they understand what's being stolen from us or has been stolen from us. Red? He just dropped off. I think he may have had another commitment to go to, so he just dropped off, so unfortunately. There's a question being asked, I know this is shifting gears. We've only got about 6 minutes left, gentlemen, just to give you a heads up. I'd want to give you a chance before we close out to let everyone know how they can go about getting information for the conference and that sort of thing. But we've got a question about can we purchase the converter for GEET?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me right at my website. Yeah, they can go to my website and check it out, or you can go to, if you want to just buy the plans, you can go to TeslaTech.info. If you want to check it out and come to school to learn how to do it, you go to GEET International.com. And GEET is G-E-E-T International, all spelled out, .com. We keep it simple.
I posted it in the chat room so everybody could pick up on that. I guess I could make it a link. Let me make it a link. So Terry, folks that want to go to this conference, what do they need to do?
All they got to do is go to www.teslatech.info. Their homepage will show a square on the left-hand side for a 2011 conference, and it will take you to the program and the hotel and all those things. Or they can call me. My phone number here is 520-463-1994. 520-463-1994. And I'm the only one that answers the phone, so you'll get me when you call.
Terry, if I go to TeslaTech.com or TeslaTech.info, it seems to be a little bit difficult to navigate to the correct conference because there's still stuff on there from old conferences, and on that front page. So I've been posting.
Well, TeslaTech.com is not our site.
Ah.
You have to go to TeslaTech.info, and it goes to Online Information Center. And over on the right-hand side, the second square down, says 2011 Extraordinary Technology Conference and Exposition. For more information, click here.
Okay, so I've posted the TeslaTech.info/TT events/2011conf/PR/program2011.pdf. I posted that in the chat so people can get to that.
Okay, it would be better to go to the .htm because that's where you can online register.
Okay.
It's TeslaTech.info, TT events, /PRG frame.htm. That would take you directly to the conference page. And I can send that to you if you wish.
Sure. And we'll be glad to post it again. Gentlemen, this has been a very interesting night. And I appreciate, Paul, you coming on with Steve and Terry. And you've certainly contributed and woke us up to some things that I know I wasn't aware of. And I'm pretty aware of most of what's happening out there.
What I gave you is just the tip of the iceberg. If you'd like to have me on again, give me a holler.
Well, maybe we
Indeed.
Should talk off the air a little bit and kind of develop a strategy so that we can bring things forward in a way that it's somewhat uncontestable. You kind of called me flat-footed, so I kind of had to put you on the spot to make sure everybody understood you weren't just some, nutcase that happened to call
mm-hmm.
in, okay? Because, I mean, no
yeah.
matter how much you know, you've still got to be skeptical. You've still got to prove things out. You got to test it by the Spirit. And we do that here on Wall of Our Minds. We challenge people. When people come on with things that we don't have information or anything to back it up on or links to give them, our listeners, information, we think it's important that good truth is out there, and we are looking for solutions. So one of the things I'd like to talk
exactly.
to you about is what you see as the solutions to this. I think one solution is making it to that doggone conference. Because
Absolutely.
people have got to become more educated and aware of what these guys have stolen from us. And this technology is stuff that has been stolen from us. It's not, most of this stuff is not new. It's been around
right.
for a while. We've had to rediscover it because they put it in a dark room.
On our own money that we've already paid for the research on through our taxes, we have to pay again to figure it out on ourselves, by ourselves, rather. What email address shall I send?
We're up against the wall here, and I would very much like to have all of you back, maybe getting a little bit closer to the conference time or something. You guys want to bring out some more of this, or maybe some of your speakers, if you'd like to get them on here to talk about some particular topics. We want to make this a forum that is available to you. So please feel free to contact me and get back on.
What is your email address?
I really enjoyed this. Very much enjoyed all of you. So thank you very much.
What is your email address?
We'll be back. I'll Terry's got my email.
Okay. I'll send it to Terry then. Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure to be able to express the word out about
on any shoulder that I can find. Have anyone in there? Have I changed their mind? It's time to go to the real world outside with those pirate ships. Fucking sailors with dirty lips. They rule the night. They rule the night. Don't be afraid of the wicked men. There's more of us than there are of them. Come join the fight. Take, oh, what a shame.